So if I want to start a fight on keisters, all I have to do is start mentioning that I've got this thing that I'm doing in San Pete County called Safe Haven Villages, and that I would like it to be a molecular relationship someday. And whoa! Who do you think you are? What makes you think you can do that? Does JJ approve? And it's off and on it goes. So I thought that I would divide this into three parts. For those of you that don't know me well, the first 5 minutes I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am. The second 5 minutes I'm going to talk about Safe Haven Villages, and the third 5 minutes I'm going to talk about how I think Safe Haven Villages interacts with JJ and his ideas. So when I was about 9 or 10 years old, I started becoming aware of the term polygamy. And I started thinking, since all 8 of my genealogical lines lead back to polygamy, that someday we would start living in polygamy again. And I came up with that on my own. It was not taught to me. It was just family talk about polygamy. So that was my first awareness of group consciousness or being in a group, and that's kind of how I interpreted it. I read the Journal of Discourses, 15 and 16 years old, all 24 volumes. I extensively researched church history from 14 to 16 years old. I started at 14 years old. Yeah, at 14 years old, my brothers were attending BYU. I went to Hiram Andrus's BYU religion classes, and he told me to shut up. How old are you? You can't ask me questions in here. What are you doing here? So he allowed me to sit in on his classes as long as I quit making comments. And if any of you know anything about Hiram Andrus, he wrote God, Man, and the Universe, and he was teaching about all of the principles that Joseph Smith taught, that we would have to relive them someday, one of which was polygamy, second exposure to polygamy. So then I marry a returned missionary. I live in a small town, and not in an especially happy marriage, and I pick out the second wife. I said, she's really intellectual. I'm intellectually starving. I think I want her for the second wife. And I told my husband that. If polygamy ever comes back in, I want her. And I was thinking that would be great to have another wife. 15 years old, I was in San Diego going to high school. I was in an English class where I had to do a 20-page term paper and a 45-minute speech. I chose Brigham Young and started that speech out, "I come from a polygamous family." I had everybody's attention. So I really, really studied Brigham Young, how polygamy worked, all of that. Fast forward, I'm going through a divorce. My life is falling apart. And I am on my third marriage. And how did this happen to me? You know, I was a typical Mormon girl who wanted 6 children, wanted the white picket fence, but I was finding myself, you know, going through horrible things, wondering, you know, what's wrong with me? Why am I going through all of these things? My third marriage, it was 1995, and I asked God, could I please find somebody to go on the spiritual path with me? Because I really felt alone. And 3 weeks later, I met Wren, who many of you know. I was told to step off of my spiritual path and to join with him, and they would teach him. And I really bless and honor him for being in my life at that time and allowing me to have the resources so that when I found JJ in 1999, for 7 years I was able to stay home and read and study and research. And I was told to step off my path so I could help him, when in reality I think it was the only way they could convince me to really study. It's like, you know, codependent, let's tell her that she's going to be helping him and then she'll study. So anyway, that's how it worked.
And I really, really studied things that J.J. said and did, because like Jerry was saying, most of what J.J. was teaching, a lot of it I had come to the same type of conclusions, but then he would take it farther and farther. And then the molecular relationship. And that really, really struck a chord. And I knew I had found somebody who had soul contact and who really was in touch. And I finally understood what all of this polygamy stuff was that was going on for me. It was really molecular relationship that I was being drawn to. And so I really thank JJ for giving that kind of insight. So in my desire to have molecular relationship, I bought, if many of you remember, the Manti Campground, Temple Hill Resort. We had a gathering there. There were four couples that were going to come together in a molecular relationship and live happily ever after, and we were going to get it all started. And every single one of us, except for Sherry and Sterling, have been divorced. That didn't work. So I'm, looking for things to do in a group situation. It is a drive like none other. I can't help myself, almost. It's like I must help start a community. This is my life path. And so there was a group of about seven of us who got together and decided that we were going to buy property together so that we could start developing a community with like-minded people, because as many of you have mentioned, nothing feels more lonely than to have a spiritual path and to try to walk it among people who don't understand and around family members who don't understand. And it would just be so wonderful if we could be in a group together where all of us, you know, give each other space. And so there were different religious orientations. Of course, there was the background of LDS. There was Buddhist, some of us. There were, Temple Recommend holding Mormons. There were ex-Mormons. I mean, there was, what? Shamans, thank you. Native American, Near Eastern. So we had kind of a mix, but we all had a Mormon background of some sort. And so we decided to come together. And it took us a year and a half, I think, to find property. So we bought 90 acres in central Utah, just north of Ephraim, Snow College area, and below Spring City. And an interesting side note, is that San Pete County does not have any fault lines in it. So there's no earthquakes in that particular valley. So I thought that's kind of interesting, since Utah is a hotbed for that sort of thing. We decided we were going to have 80% consensus on all of our decisions. I got outvoted, and we got named Safe Haven Villages. So that isn't the name I would have chosen, but I wanted Spring Haven. And, Safe Haven Villages won out. But we put the S on the end because we intended this to spread, to be known, little cities of light all over the world, and this would just be one of them. And so the whole idea was to bring like-minded people together, to have sustainable communities with no mortgages, food grown on the property, and just a cool place to hang out with people of like mind. And if things fall apart, people could also have their emergency food there. So we have full-time memberships, we have emergency memberships, and we have people who are supporting members who really don't have any property there. So there's different types of memberships. There's four pieces that you can actually put houses on, one of which we're going to someday put a community center on and kind of have apartments in it, and that's the dream. Well, Michael and I met through that project, and he and I have been praying that the right people will be drawn, and that everything that is not of the higher thought form, I guess you would say, of what Safe Haven Village is, would leave. And one of our very dear founders passed away 2 weeks ago, very unexpectedly. And I said to Michael, maybe we better stop praying. Because, you know, when you start trying to draw upon the energies to create something higher, it has created all sorts of chaos, quite frankly. And I really understand why JJ is going, don't come to Boise yet. All we'll be doing is dealing with personality issues. And that is really true. You really have to purify the personality and become a soul-infused personality in order to deal with community. Because just as in a marriage where, you know, all your triggers get triggered by the person that you're married to, times that by 7. Or 8 or 10 or however many people are in the group, it is a very difficult thing to do without getting into personality issues. One of the other founders, a very dear friend of both Michael and he's the one that actually got us together, totally went into personality. He's a first ray, if any of you understand first ray. And we're in the process of suing him right now. So community is not easy. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is for people who really are soul-infused personalities. And so we are trying to hold that space to create that thought form so that it will contact the right people. And hopefully that's going to lead to a true molecular relationship. I thank God every day that I found the man JJ told me that I would probably never find, a man who could send to me. And I'm really grateful for that. How I think that JJ's idea of the gathering and molecular relationship and all of that intersects with Safe Haven Villages is that he's always told us that Boise is probably going to be a pre-gathering and that we're going to go somewhere else, possibly on an island or create, build an island or something out in the sea so that it's not under anybody else's jurisdiction. I also see Safe Haven Villages as a pre-gathering. All of us do not know how it's going to turn out. Is it JJ's book is going to create the necessary momentum to get a lot of people here so that we can then create molecular relationship and a gathering out of that? Or is it going to be that some master finds us and weaves his way in and just starts teaching us and then it comes out that way? JJ's mentioned that that might happen. Or it could be that maybe something happens with Safe Haven Villages, and because of its success, it then turns the spotlight on JJ's teachings, and then something happens from there. I personally have no attachment, or I don't care how it works. I just want it to work. And because I'm a third ray personality, you tell me something, and I go, okay, let's go do it. You know, I had a psychologist tell me once, you know, you don't have to try everything in order to see if it'll work or not. And so that's kind of my personality. I want to do it. And some people find that offensive or think that I'm in opposition to JJ or trying to usurp him or whatever. It's just my nature to try to actually make it real. And I think that however this works out, my ultimate goal is for us to create molecular relationship, a city of light, a place of Zion, a place of refuge, a place to grow, a place of like-minded people. And if any of you are interested in learning more, we're doing permaculture projects, we're doing sustainable building projects, we're...
Tell me about the earthships?
Yeah, there's things like tire houses. You can build things out of tires. We've built sheds out of cob. We've built out of earth bags,
adobe.
Yeah, we mix horse manure and mud and sand, and we slop it on there. We've learned to do a lot of things that we didn't think we would ever want to do. If you are extremely esoteric and want to stay in your head a lot, Safe Haven Villages is not the place for you. This is a place of get your shovel in the dirt and get to work. People will come and volunteer. Like, we had 50 volunteers over Memorial Day weekend. And they're going, oh, this is work. It's like, yeah. Yeah, it is. In order to build Zion, you got to break a sweat, you know.
Are you actually living on the property
now? Not yet.
Is anyone living on the property?
No. We're just preparing it. I'm taking a permaculture design course right now, which teaches you how to create holding patterns of water so that we can turn the desert, you know, to blossom like a rose. We can't irrigate our particular piece of property, and so we're having to learn how to do it other ways. And so the whole idea is to build a food forest so that you're not having to plant gardens every year, that it's like a forest, it just rejuvenates every year. And one of the points is that if marauders were to come through, you know, the world falls apart, etc., a lot of people wouldn't even recognize a food forest for what it was. They wouldn't even know. And, you know, if they come through and they see a garden, they could raid the whole garden and you're without. Or if they see your animal herds, they could take all your animals and you're without. He said it's not very likely for them to come in, take the food, chop down the trees, and then leave. You know, so a food forest is one of the most stable, sustainable ways of having a community. And so that is something that we are very much working towards.